I'm Andrew.
And I am Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. And today, we're going to continue with part two of our series of painting miniatures on this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 4, I believe it's Episode 14 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at TabletopBattlefield.com. And two episodes ago, we did our first part in the series of painting miniatures. So if you guess, what did we cover back then?
We covered the basics of novice, good painter, expert painter, right, and the tools used, as well as our primer competition.
Also assembly, we did some of that too.
So assembly and
figure preparation.
Yep.
And then we did the primer competition. We just left off there, right?
Yep, and I just basically showed a couple of easy techniques on a goblin of skin toning.
That's right, so the basic, yes.
Yep.
So yeah, so if you want to see kind of what led up this episode, go back to, I believe it was episode 12. And like I said, we talked about kind of everything leading up to painting and some of the basic techniques involved in painting. And today what we're going to do is we've got two different projects. Yep. I've got my Signar Squire, and you've got here...
Hormagaunt. Yeah. Some of my Tyranid Hormagaunts for my army.
And we're going to kind of take some of those basic painting techniques and kind of show them how they all work together to create a full finished model. So talk a little bit of background about our models. Mine is from Privateer Press's War Machine. This is a little guy that hangs around with your warcaster, who's the leader of the army, and kind of gives him a little bit of power. So he's a mechanical unit. He's got some armor on him, got some gold rivets, plating, things like that, a lot of metal and metallic surfaces. So I definitely want the more mechanical aspect. Yep. And yours?
And mine are the Games Workshop Tyranid Hormagaunts for the Tyranids army for the more organic side of the painting as opposed to the mechanical. You got your, as opposed to having mechanical plating, we've got skin. So skin toning is happening as well as... The carapace on the back for the back plating, the talons that he has, as well as the facial features, like the teeth and the tongue. And some of the Hormagaunts have visible eyes. Not all of them do, unfortunately.
As for like the paint scheme, for example, I got with the more traditional Signar gold, blue, and white. It's pretty standard how Signar is normally painted. You want something different, so explain the history behind your painting.
The history behind my painting for my paint scheme is... It's based on StarCraft paint job on a Games Workshop model.
The irony being that StarCraft is based on the Tyranids.
Yeah.
Very heavily.
Yeah. So I went the route of the blue with the... my paint scheme is basically just black with gray on the top along with the white carapaces with the blue pieces on the back, blue triangular pieces on the carapaces, which is based off of a scheme from a Zerg brood in StarCraft, one that's not commonly used in the StarCraft game or mentioned in the history in the game itself. So that's where I got mine from.
Alright, so what we're going to do now is I'm going to go up first and talk about, like I said, painting mechanical units. Afterward, Andrew will do organic things. And we'll come back here to kind of finish up when we're done. So let's start off with my Signar Squire. So for the first painting demo, I'm going to be showing you how to paint my Signar Squire. This is a support unit for the Privateer Press's War Machine. It's a little robot-looking dog thing that hangs around with your warcaster and makes it more powerful. But, so a quick history in the background of me painting this army. I started playing Signar back when the game came out back in 2002. I didn't play it a whole lot then, but I did buy some of the figures because they looked really cool and had a lot of fun painting them. And this was really my first complete army that I painted. So as a result, I go with a pretty stock paint scheme with a bluish armor, some white highlights, some other gold kind of metal pieces, and a lot of silver, for the non-painted metal pieces. So the colors I'm going to be running through today are Bulk Gunmetal. By the way, these are all Games Workshop branded paints. Let's hold up so you can see the name. There you go, Bulk Gunmetal. We've got Regal Blue. This is a dark blue color because it's kind of an old bottle. For all I know, it may not exist anymore. We have Skull White, which is white. We've got Chaos Black, which if you believe is black. I may use a tiny bit of Blood Red. and finally Shining Gold, which of course is gold. And I guess I should say bulk gunmetal is a kind of a gunmetal grayish color. As for brushes, I'm going to be running with, I've got a kind of a normal painting brush. This would be a size 0 Reaper brush. I've got a then 5/0 Reaper brush for doing really fine details. I've got a dry brush. It was a size 2 Reaper dry brush, and since then had the crap beat out of it. I've got one final brush here. It's actually a size 1 Reaper brush. It's actually pretty old, and this is what I actually use to get the paint out. So one thing I do differently than Andrew is I use an old brush to get the paint out of the pods and mix it up. I just like doing that a little bit better. So let's get started painting. The first thing you want to do is decide what colors are going to go where. I know it seems kind of like a bit of a minor step, but it's very important that you know how you want your model to look when it's finished before you start painting. Otherwise, you're going to be kind of scrambling and making changes as you go, and that definitely degrades the overall quality of the model. Since I'm going with the standard Signar paint scheme, much of the armor is going to be blue. There's going to be a few gold highlights. I think down here by the feet, looks like I can do a little bit of gold plating, kind of gold grating, plating metal. There's going to be a little gold piece that goes underneath his eye. He's got one single eye thing. I'll probably make these little spires at the top here be either gold or white. There's three little kind of spires. The smokestack will be white with a gold top. And finally, pretty much everything else I haven't mentioned, which is a lot of exposed metal, is going to be the bolt gun metal kind of shiny gray color. Now, I do want to start with the most prominent color, which is going to be blue. So therefore, I'm going to take the Regal Blue out. I'm just going to throw some of it down on my little mixing palette over here. So using my number 0 brush, I'm just going to apply this, like I said, to all the areas that are going to be blue. I should probably add in somewhere back at the start that this model was primed with Games Workshop branded Chaos Black Primer. This being the first color in general, what you're going to find is if it does the paint kind of bleeds off to other areas of the model where it's not supposed to be, don't worry too much about that. You can cover that up in later layers. So I hold it up here now. You're going to be able to see that all the areas that need to be blue have been coated with a kind of a dark coat of Regal Blue. This is where we got to be careful for the next couple layers, because what you're going to find is that it only takes a little bit of white to lighten up the Regal Blue color quite a bit. So I'm going to take my little old crappy brush and put some more Regal Blue down on my palette, because ideally what you want to do is just keep adding, basically as you get lighter and lighter coats, just keep adding a little bit of white to the previous color used, or the previous layer color. So therefore, you don't have to try to basically guess what the previous layer color was again before. You want to kind of just keep adding a little bit of white each time, and that makes it, you know, get each layer get a little bit lighter. There's no, like I said, no guessing to try to figure out what you had, say, an hour ago when you did the previous layer. So ideally, you want to do these next couple layers all in the same sitting. So I'm literally talking a very tiny amount of skull white. I mean, literally just tiny amount of the brush. Probably can't even see it there very well. And mix it in. And you're going to get just a little bit lighter color. I'm going to add a little bit of water to thin the paint down a little bit. There you go. Now repeat the process again. And cover all the areas just covered in Regal Blue with this new blue-white mixture. There you go. It's probably going to be tough to see, but it's a little bit lighter all over the model now. And of course, small changes like that are what you're trying to go for. So multiple layers of small changes looks a lot better than just a few layers of large changes. So now what we're going to start doing is highlighting the edge of the model. Now you want to let it dry a little bit. It should dry pretty quickly. But the idea is now you want to make the edges of the armor plating brighter than the inside edges. So we're going to do this over a course of probably about 3 layers. Each time, we want to just add a little bit more skull white to our mixture. I could a tiny amount like I did last time. So literally I get the tip of this brush with white on it. You probably can't see that all, but literally the tip of the brush is a tiny bit of white on it,
and we just mix it into the entire batch, like that. Probably add just a tiny bit of more water to thin it down a little bit. The end result is you got a little bit of paint that's a little bit lighter shade. Now what you want to do is, don't paint the inside of the armor panels. So there's a little bit of kind of guesswork into where what looks best, but only maybe cover the outside 80 to 75% of the armor panels with this color. Like I said before, you only want to see a tiny little bit of change, not too much. Too much is a bad thing, just a tiny little bit is a very good thing. So we're going to do this two more times, so adding just a tiny tip amount of Skull White to your brush, mix it in again, and lighten up your blue mixture one more time. And what you might notice, just as a side thought, is that your little blue mixture on your palette may end up not necessarily being uniform across the whole mixture on your palette here, which is not a bad thing. Therefore, some of the areas, they'll give it a little more non-uniformness to the model as you paint it, which is a good thing, of course. Now, this time of the layer, maybe you only want to cover about 50% of the armor panel. So, like I said, we're cut 50% of the edges of the armor panel, so leave even more of the inside untouched by this coat. Yeah, so we're going to repeat the process one more time. Now, this time, we're going to actually just paint the very edges of the model. So, get my little crappy brush out here and apply just a tiny bit more Skull White to the mixture. And literally, we're just going to highlight the edges of the armor panels. Don't even worry about the inside. Just highlight the very edges of the armor panels. So up to this point, I've been using only the zero size brush. Now I'm going to be using the 5-0 detailed brush. Like I said, just highlight the very edges of the armor panels with this whitest, I guess it'd be the brightest mixture of the blue and the white. What you're going to notice now is that the absolute darkest is the center of the armor panels, and the absolute lightest are the highlights along the edge. Now what we want to do is kind of dull down the differences a little bit, because I did a pretty good job of kind of hiding the layers, but you can definitely still see some areas of transition. So what I do to cover that up is I do a wash in the original Regal Blue color. So let's take some Regal Blue, put it back on your palette in a different spot, because you're done with the light blue mixtures. We'll just dump it over here today. You don't need a lot, because like I said, this is going to be a wash. So now you're going to mix in probably enough paint to make it 3 to 1 to 4 to 1 in terms of water versus paint. So about 4 times as much water as paint. There we go, that should be good enough. I'll say about 3 times as much water as paint. It is a little bit of a kind of a art and not a science to guess exactly how much you need. Now what you want to do is, using this wash, go over the entire surface of the armor, and what this will end up doing is to kind of blend in the various layers a little bit and kind of dull down the differences, so it'll help conceal the layers even better. And there you go, just like that, the blue portion of your squire is done. We're going to let that dry for a few minutes, and when we come back, we're going to show you how you can paint up all the kind of silver metal parts. Now we're going to move on to stage 2 of painting the squire, which is now going to be painting all the non-gold metal parts, which is pretty much everything but the few kind of gold grates and other cool looking little details here. For that, we're going to be using the color Bolt Gunmetal. Once again, this is a gray gunmetal kind of silvery color. And what we're going to do is just, let's take some of the paint out of the pod, put it down on our palette. We want to water it down a little bit. Because just as a general rule of thumb, you often want to water down a lot of paint, just a tiny little bit, not much, maybe just a little bit. But what you're going to find is going to vary from paint to paint how much water you want to use, because every paint has a different consistency. That'd be pretty good there. Like that. And now let's pretty much just cover all the metal parts with this mixture of
bolt gun metal, and water.
Of course, be careful not to paint over the blue armor that you painted earlier. And there we go. That's
looking pretty good. Let me just hold it up here. You can see probably if I hold it to the back, you can see now on the back of the Squire is all the bolt gun metal. And the next step we want to do is make this metal area look pretty grungy, pretty dirty. And also we want to fill in the various little crevices in there with black to kind of give it a little bit darker, look a little bit of recessed, shadowy look. And if you remember from last time, the way you do that is using a wash. So I'm going to clean my brush off. And then we're going to do a Chaos Black-based wash. Let's take some of my Chaos Black, put just a small amount of paint down on the palette. And just as we did with the last stage of the Regal Blue, we want to really water down the paint, so maybe like I said, like 3 to 4 times the amount of water versus how much paint you put down. So now using the zero brush, let's dip into this black wash and cover over all the areas you just painted with the bolt gun metal. What you may notice is your wash may pick up some of the bolt gun metal color just because either the paint was not fully dry or the large amount of water in the wash kind of caused the not fully dried paint to just, you know, kind of get picked up. Either way, that's alright, it's not a big deal, just keep running with it. So there we go. Now you're going to notice that your basically all your silver bolt gun metal parts now look a little bit darker. And if you look very closely, you're going to see that some of the black wash kind of got in the recesses between the sections and kind of highlighted the little gaps that exist in the various parts of the structure. Set this guy down. It's definitely going to take some time to let him dry. Come back, and we're going to show you how to finish up the structure and then start painting some of the white areas. Now we're going to finish up the last step to painting the silver metal parts of the Signar Squire. And what we're going to do is take some more bolt gun metal and dry brush that color all over the exposed metal areas. That will obviously be covered with the wash in the previous step. The idea here is now that the highlighted areas or the kind of extruded areas are going to pick up this silver, bright silver color, while the dark recessed areas are going to hold on to the darker washed color. So using our little paint extraction brush, just put a little bit of the bolt gun metal down on your palette. You don't need a lot, just a little bit. Like I said, this is going to be dry brushing, which if you're not familiar with this technique, you basically apply a very, very small amount of paint to the brush, and as you go across the model, the paint will stick to the kind of the extruded areas or the areas that stand out where the recessed areas won't pick up any paint. So using the dry brush brush, put a little bit on the bristles, and then, of course, wipe most of the paint off onto, like, a paper towel, or in this case, I'm using an old T-shirt. And just go over the model very lightly a few times, and what's going to do is you're going to notice the highlighted areas are going to pick up the new brighter color. The recessed areas will keep the darker colors. And there we go. That's all you really got to do. If I hold this model up and I kind of rotate the backside, you're going to see now you got a pretty good mix of both bright silver areas as well as the dark recessed areas in the metal portions of the model. The next step we're going to do is paint the white areas of the model. This can be kind of tricky because, frankly, white is one of the hardest colors to paint. And the reason it's one of the hardest colors to paint is if you don't do it quite right, it does an excellent job of showing your brush strokes. So what you want to do to help minimize that is you take some of the white paint out of the pod, obviously put it down on your palette, and mix it so it's almost, say, 30 to 40% water. This is going to create a very thin paint, and the end result is you're going to have to put several layers of this thin white paint on to get a true, proper white coat on your model. But as a result, it'll do a pretty good job of hiding the brush strokes, which frankly, it's worth the extra effort.
Okay, we're gonna be using the very thin, or the very small 5/0 brush. So take some of this white water mixture. And the areas I'm gonna make white are, first of all, the area around the guy's eye. There's two parts to it. Half that's gonna be white, the other half's gonna end up being gold. And also I'm gonna make the smokestack be white as well. At least up to the very top. There's two sections of the smokestack. There's a main section that's kind of below a smokestack cap. The cap's probably gonna end up being gold, the rest is gonna be white. So why don't I also make those little spines that come off the front of the squire, we're gonna make them white as well. I'm not quite sure exactly what they are. They're probably used for channeling the arcane energy that it has to assist the warcaster, probably. Something like that sounds good. Sometimes you find that if they screw something up, the best way to get around it is basically just kind of make it look like you didn't screw it up. Like for example, I got a little bit of white in between the different spines, so what I ended up doing is just kind of painting the armor area right in the spines white as well. So the best look, but it's a kind of a way to cover up your mistake. It looks to be all the areas I'm going to end up painting white. So what I'm going to let them do is just dry a little bit, and then I'm going to go over them with a second and third coat of this kind of watered down white to give it a very, obviously, a nice even coat of white paint. Now the next step in painting the Signar Squire is going to be painting up the gold regions. There's several on this model. There are actually two that are going to be underneath the eye, one that's directly under the eye and one that's kind of on the bottom of the model. That's going to be a fun one to try to paint. I'm going to paint also the, the extruded areas of the feet are going to be gold. So what's right now is blue is going to become gold. Finally, the top of the smokestack is going to be gold. And also, what I like to do to give it kind of a little bit of contrast in colors, all the little rivets, screws, bolts, and things that are on the model, I like to make them gold as well to stand out. So for this layer of paint, we're going to be using the shining gold color. I'm going to take my little paint extraction brush and get some of the shining gold down on my palette. Maybe mix a tiny bit of water with it, not a lot. This paint's kind of weird for consistency purposes, at least the pot I had was. Now using the very fine detailed brush, this would be the 5/0 brush. Let's first start by painting the top of the smokestack. Okay, next I'm going to paint the area underneath the eye gold. Now comes a really tricky part. I'm going to paint the area that's basically underneath the model itself gold. This is like a little kind of a gold grate down here. Okay, got that painted up. The last parts I'm going to, at least the large areas I'm going to paint gold are going to be the middle of the paws. So if I hold them up here, you're now going to see that a lot of the areas are gold. He's got his little paws underneath his eye, if you can see that, and of course the top of the smokestack. I'm going to want to put a second layer of gold on, but I'm going to let this first layer dry. And in between, I'm going to go ahead and paint lots of little highlights, like for example, the nuts here, or the rivets, the little Signar and Swan, any of the little bolts, little details like that to make them stand out a lot better. So I'm going to get a little bit more gold out. I'm going to go around kind of detailing the model with it. And of course, for the detailing work, I'm continuing to use the 5/0 brush. So there we go. I finished up doing all the little gold details on the squire. And now the next step, I'm going to take a little bit more gold paint, and we're going to go back over and do a second layer on the major areas covered in gold. So the two areas underneath his eye, the top of the smokestack, and the two areas in the front of the paws. That just obviously gives them a much more even coat of gold. And there you go. Second layer of gold applied to all the major surfaces. And we're going to call the gold done. So the last step is going to be doing some little detailing work. So now we're down to the last step of painting the squire, which is just applied a few details. So what we're going to do is, one, paint the very top of the smokestack black, so you're kind of looking down at the deep emptiness of the steam engine inside this thing. We're going to give it a red eye, just because I like to give my warjacky things red eyes, which is, this is kind of a tiny warjack. And finally, we're going to actually put a little bit of a black ring that separates the white smokestack from the gold part to kind of give a little more distinction separating those two regions. And that should be a pretty good amount of details to finish up with, and you'll have a completed squire. So take a little bit of Chaos Black, you probably take it just right from the pot, just get a tiny little bit on the brush, and a paint the middle of the top of the smokestack completely black. So this is basically just going to cover up probably some of the gold spill from the previous step. There we go. That's step one done. Now step two is going to be painting the eye of this guy red. So we're getting out the blood red color. And once again, just using a tiny little drop, literally tiny, paint the eye section red. And once again, we are using the 5/0 brush. And there we go. If you hold him up, you can be able to see a little bit of red eye he's got now. And the very last step I mentioned was we're going to give some separation between the white portion of the smokestack and the gold portion. And what we're going to actually use here is black ink. Good luck trying to find this. Games Workshop doesn't make it anymore. So you might, if you're careful, you probably can get away with using a little bit of Chaos Black that's watered down. But I'm going to be using actual black ink. Basically, the black ink was replaced by the Bad Ab Black Wash. I don't know if that'll work for this. It probably will, because essentially what we're doing is we're going to put a little bit of black ink, which tends to run into the recessed areas of the model, and kind of run that around the ring of the smokestack, kind of making that recessed ring fairly pronounced. So you probably could use the wash as well if you're careful with it, but just because it's what I've always used, I'm using black ink. And once again, this is the 5/0 brush, because you got to be very, very careful here. If you got a little too much of it on, like I kind of did, take your paper or whatever you're using to dry your brushes with, and see if you can kind of mop a little bit of it up if you're careful. Once again, this is being very careful to fix a not very careful look. And to be honest with you, if it's a little bit smeared to where it kind of darkens an area of the smokestack, that's not a bad thing, because this is a smokestack spewing out lots of sooty, messy, garbage stuff. And therefore the fact that it would be a little black, a little bit smeared, that's actually going to give it a little more character. So don't worry too much if it does smear a little bit. Well, as for painting, that's going to be basically it for the squire. So hopefully it gives you a pretty good tutorial on how you want to paint mechanical units, like, for example, the Squire or Warjacks or things along that line. The last thing you obviously want to do is give this guy a base, but that's going to be for another show at another time. So let's jump back, and I think Andrew's going to be showing off how to paint some of his figures.
All right, what I'm going to be painting here is a Tyranid Hormigaunt from my Tyranids army here. I've got a couple of ones that are already painted with the scheme that I have here. It's pretty much just a black dry brush or black base coat on the skin with a gray dry brush and with some detail work on the white plates here with blue triangular pieces on the scales. So that's pretty much what I'm going to be going for, as well as the detail work in the face. So let's get started on that. First, we're going to take our...
What paints do you have in front of you?
What paints I have in front of me are Bleach Bone. We'll go through the GW paints. Catechin Green. An old school one that's no longer made. Blue, Storm Blue. Blood Red. Let's see, Enchanted Blue and my Bedaub Black pot for wash. And then these three here are basic ceramic acrylic paints. They work just as effectively as the Games Workshop paints. Basic ceramic white and black put into a huge pot there.
Where do you get those from?
Michaels, Joann's, any art store you can find. And this one was basically just a mixture of these two put together. It's a simple gray. You can probably see some here on the side of the bottle because it's spilled out a little bit. So what we're going to be starting off with is our black, putting the skin down for our Hormagaunt here, because that's a lot easier to put black on white as opposed to doing the opposite. I am using, which one? The number zero brush right now for the base coating. Painting the skin black, getting the coat on there. The base coating of the skin is done. Now what we're going to be doing is putting on the dry brush for the skin to bring out all the features on the top of it. So we're going to be going right into the custom gray here that I have mixed up, which is basically a mixture of the ceramic black and white. And you can really tell that's ceramic paint because it kind of smells like ceramic paint. Now, the one thing to note is that if you get it a little bit heavier on the dry brush than you wanted, you can always go back in. And one way that I found to darken it up is to put the black wash over the top. That'll definitely darken it up in areas that you might have gotten a little bit lighter than you had wanted originally. Next up, we're going to be using a Bedaub Black wash over the skin because, I mean, I kind of went a little bit heavier on the wash than I'd like to have. The dry brush. I went a little bit heavier there than I had intended on doing. Touch up on the tail there. I'm very, very liberal when it comes to using the washes, so I'm not conservative at all because I like to get a good coat on here. Yeah, it darkens it right up. Alright, now that the wash is on, we just gotta let it sit and dry for a little while because, yeah, it's pretty wet. Now what we're going to be doing, now that the wash is finally dried, is we're going to be going over the carapace pieces on the back plates, as well as anything else that needs white on it, like the talons or the scything talons over here, the little hooks, and even the feet here. So I'm going to pick up some of the ceramic white that we have over here. And this time I'm going to be using my 20-0 spotter since I'm working in a smaller area. Alright, next step that we're going to be doing now that everything's dried and fixed up is we're going to be putting on the back detail carapace, the blue with the black triangles on the pieces here. So let's open up our enchanted blue. Get some of that on the brush. See, now we're working with something more than just our traditional grayscale. We'll just start applying it in a triangle shape on the back of the carapace here.
Yeah.
now what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going in and putting the trim, the black trim, on our carapace pieces here with the triangles. Still using the spotter brush. The next step that we're going to be doing is the facial features on the face detailing, which is going to involve bleached bone for the teeth, and then blood red for the tongue, and if I can try, I don't think I'm going to, though, because I can't really see the eyes, is the blood red, so we're not going to go in there and mess up everything, and I think I might need Hormigaunts here. They've got really small teeth and easy to swipe one stroke. Unless it was more prominent, like, say, an orc, for example, then I'd be going over each tooth individually because the orcs have really big, really big teeth. What we're going to be doing now, last step, now that everything's pretty much touched up and, everything's pretty much touched up, with all the detailing on the face and everything, so next is the final step, which is to put the base on it. I'm going to be coloring the base in Catechin Green. It's got a little foresty color to it. Brand new pot. And actually, I'm going to go in with the zero brush.
A little bit much detail for the base?
Nah. It's pretty much just going to be a flat color. And then the only detail that's going to be in it is when I put the when I put flock on it afterwards. Once we're finished painting the base, it's pretty much finished. At this point, all we gotta do is just seal it. Put a spray of the sealer on it. And right here we have our Krylon Crystal Clear Flat. I use the flat or a matte finish because I don't like to use the gloss to give it the shiny. I like using the flat or matte finish for gives it a natural look to it as opposed to that shiny gloss. Ooh, new color, new kind of look to it. This gives it a more natural look, more realism. And this is pretty much the only kind of sealer primer that I prefer to buy, is the Krylon sealer. This one I believe cost about $3.50. It was like $3.50 for the Krylon flat, and it works really well. If I can get the cap off.
All right, so welcome back. That was Andrew finishing up his Tyranid Hormigaunt paint styles. Hopefully we helped you out a little bit, kind of showing you how you can use the different techniques, different ways, a little bit different flavors and styles of things to actually paint your figures. At some point, we'll probably come back, and if I have enough material, I'll do a third episode, because you can do a lot with basing. And a lot of cool techniques of how to, you know, from basic grasslands and mixing dirt and grasses to having weeds, plants, or rivers, all sorts of really cool techniques.
Yeah.
So if I can find a way to actually have a full episode on that, I'd probably go ahead and that'd be the third and final part in this series. That won't be for a while, though, unfortunately. We've got some other topics in between.
More importantly, the Games Workshop release of 8th edition this upcoming weekend.
Well, this coming weekend we're recording it. By the time this is moving, the magic of podcast time shifting. Yeah, by the time this has actually been released, it came out the previous Saturday.
Yeah.
So the next episode, we're definitely going to talk about Warhammer Fantasy 8th Edition, get some guys on. Andrew and I went down to the local GW store and got through about half a match before they kicked us out
for
the July weekend.
Yeah.
Took us a little bit longer because, you know, it's a new edition. We had to read the rules like 17 times.
Keep going back to the rule book, checking, okay, is this changed? No, it's just a lot of time going back and forth.
So let's talk very quickly here. What were your two or three favorite things and maybe two or three things you didn't like that you hated the most about it?
About the rules. Yeah. My biggest problem with the new rules would have to be in the magic phase. Because of the fact that, I play vampire counts. I can't multicast anymore like I used to be able to do. I can only have one of the same spell on every caster.
It's like if I have, with the exception of Invocation of Nehek, because all vampires have the rule, they all naturally know Invo. So that's the one thing that I do am happy that I still get to keep. However, I will say, it is a little bit more balanced now with the way magic is. I don't always have to worry about people constantly dispelling my stuff, and I don't always have to worry about stuff not going off because of the way that they've reworked it, where they add in the caster's level to that.
The ratio of power dice to spell dice is much closer than it was in previous editions.
Yes.
So, yeah. We'll more about that later. Anything you really like about it?
Or just That's pretty much it. I mean, obviously, the amount of terrain you can have is kind of obscene.
Yeah, it's kind of obscene.
We had ten pieces of terrain?
10 pieces of terrain. That's the most you can possibly have in a standard game. And it was getting tight even with 1,000 points. And you just
Oh, yeah.
I can imagine.
And there's a lot of nice pieces of new terrain now. Mm. The Sphinx is kind of crazy, as well as the Magic Circle. That's some really nice stuff.
So I'd say some of my favorite points. Obviously, the terrain and the randomability of it is really a lot of fun. Just because it takes away one element that you can that armies have to rely on. Mm-hmm. So now you got to build a more square, more rounded army than being able to use terrain to be cheap and cheesy and things.
Yeah.
Probably the thing I don't like the most, being a Lisbon player, is the fact that you no longer get first strike on the charge. You basically go to initiative order, and the Lisbon are very slow at that. Yeah. So there's some guys who's like, ooh, well, I don't really want to charge. There's no reason. It's still, you know, it's still an advantage to charge into combat, but it's not as good as it was before.
All charging does now is that whole plus one and ish, or plus one combat resolution.
Which isn't bad, but when you got lots of kills going on, it's not as huge as it could be. But it's, you know, it's not as bad as it was. But
it still doesn't help with, you know, high elves and their always first strike rule.
Yes, I see your I see the issue. Oh, we'll talk more about that next episode when we go over. We get some more people on who play the game, and by that time, we'll all have. Well, most of us have the rule book in front of me. I'm honestly probably not going to buy the rule book. $75 is way too much for that thing.
It is
a massive tome though. It's like almost 600 pages, I think.
Yeah, it's
really
probably
going
to be a good month after the release before I can get my hands on the rule book myself.
But also, hopefully by then we'll have a few more games that we played and kind of have a better balance idea of what's going on, a much better firm understanding of what's changed, what hasn't, because like GW tends to do, they have done this in the past, but they really didn't give a very concise guide in the rule book what's changed and what hasn't changed. So you really got, the thing that you really gets annoying is you got to read through the whole thing and you only go point by point to figure out what changed and what hasn't. It's very easy to miss some small little change how combat is resolved or something like that, because
it can be really annoying.
Oh, well, that's about it. We'll talk more about, like I said, next episode. So, thanks for coming on the show and showing off the painting. I'll see if we have a third episode of this. Maybe we'll bring you back on. And until then, I guess questions or comments, send them over to me at jason@rockosoftware.com. That's rockosoftware.com. Of course, Twitter at @TT_Battlefield. Steam is Rocko Robotics for Left 4 Dead 2, or I guess if you want to kill me in Dawn of War 2, that option is always available. Andrew.
And for my Twitter would be Duke_Nukem1. And Steam for me would be Duke_Nukem. For Left 4 Dead 2, Chaos, Dawn of War 2, Chaos Rising, as well as Team Fortress 2.
One of these days I might start Team Fortress 2 again. I don't think I have it installed right now, though.
You should. You should.
I do have it installed.
It's a lot of fun. Me and my buddies play a lot of that.
Sometime. Oh, all right. All right, well, thanks for watching. We'll see you guys again in about 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.